Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Without a cell phone. Can I tell you what that does to me? That I watch my phone for one bar. Give me a bar, Lord. Just give me a bar. I don't want to lose touch. I want to know that everybody's okay. That's the kind of nut that I am when it comes to, I want to make sure people call that a control thing. And it's not. I want to know that everyone's okay. And so some of you, as I got closer to a port of an island as we went by, two bars, and then I'd get caught up with everything that was going on. We missed you. We missed you. We were away celebrating our, thank you, Pastor Harvey. We were away celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary on a cruise we ported out of, where'd we port out of? Fort Lauderdale. We left Fort Lauderdale and we took to 2 days of sailing out to nowhere land and landed on Dominican Republic. Then the next day we landed on St. Thomas, and the next day I wasn't sure where we were. And then the next day we ended up in San Martin. We went to a little place called, who was that pirate? Blackbeard. Blackbeard's castle. Down there, yeah, you can't forget Blackbeard, the most infamous. So we went to his castle. Don't worry with it. Anyway, it's a little tower, so he wasn't a wealthy man, apparently. But we had a great time together, and thank you for blessing our time away. It means a lot that you all continue to be faithful. You are the family of SCRC, and the great things I heard about Pastor Carl, and of course, Pastor Mike, Pastor Pam, Pastor Mike today, I don't know where he went, but there was an anointing in our worship today. There was an anointing. Do you hear me what I'm saying? I said there's an anointing in our worship, and I don't just mean the band. I mean your worship. There was an anointing in this room as you were worshiping the Lord of hosts. There's an anointing. Everybody say there is an anointing. There's an anointing in this place for God to be honored. There's a purpose for the anointing. The anointing is for God to be honored in all that we do, all that we say, all the thoughts that we retain, because some thoughts are about dinner. And so we shake those off and we go ahead and get back checked into what the Spirit of God wants to do. But this morning I want to talk with you because as when you go out on trips like that, don't you come back with all kinds of stories? Don't you? When we go on our missions trip, Rob and Rhonda, don't we come back with all kinds of stories? I saw Rob one time come out of a ceiling with insulation literally from head to toe. He gets in the van and he sits down. Pam was there. Pam's always there. So he sits down in the van. We get back to the hotel and Rob walks through the hotel lobby, walks straight out to the pool and boom, face down. There's always a great story of things right in the pool just to get the insulation off of it. There's always a story. I want to talk with you because I saw a lot of this on the trip. Worldview. Our worldview. How many got a bulletin? Hold your bulletin up. Can I ask you something? How many read this? Now, don't you tell me you read it if you don't read. Don't you tell me. Okay. It's the title of today is simply Our Worldview. Now, years ago, what did it used to be called? Our Perspective, right? And so today, we're using verbiage as it comes around, and the worldview is kind of the verbiage that people use today. What is your worldview? I simply want to just lay that out. What is your worldview? I'm going to read a story to you here real quick. In fact, It is called The Parable of the Lost Son. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because most of you know the story, but I am going to tell you the story just in case you don't know the story. I want to talk to you about three worldviews that were in this story, and then I'll talk to you about the practical side of the story. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 15. I'll give you just a second to get there, and if you don't have a Bible with you, it's right there. It's made easy for all of us. Here we go. Jesus continued. He was, of course, telling lots of stories. He was in the middle in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11 is where it starts. And he had just told a story about the parable of the lost coin. He goes in. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided, the father divided his property. Whose property? His property. Did you catch that? His property. The father divided his property. It belongs to the father. The father is the source. He is the source and the only source for these two young men. So he says, goes on to say, so he divided his property between them. Who did he give it to? Them. Not long after that, who did he give it to? Them. And he gave it to them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all, or rather, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country where he squandered his wealth in wild living. In other words, he took everything his father had given to him, and it goes on to say, after he had spent everything there, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to feed his, to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, I love, that might be my favorite line in the entire Bible. I think King James might say when he came to himself or something to that effect. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father." Now, if you know the story and you know it from there, the prodigal son or the wayward son is coming down the road and his father sees him from a long way off. He sees him from a long way off. And the father goes running out to his son and he grabs him and he begins to hug him and he ushers him back all the way back to the land and to the property, and he orders the fattened calf to be killed for the celebration because my son who was once dead is now alive again. He is restored. The father restores him, and the older son now gets angry. The other son gets very, very angry about the fact that his father received this son back in without some kind of a price to pay. You ever been in church when somebody had some kind of lapse in their life and they dropped away from church for a period of time, and there was kind of a, they weren't there for the seasons, for a couple of seasons, and then they would come back in, and somewhere along the line, leadership would say, "Let's get this brother and let's restore him and let's bring him back into the fold." And others would say, "Well, why are they using him so fast?" That's kind of the same worldview. Let me just tell you real quick, in this story, there are three worldviews. Here comes the son back into the relationship and the party is on, and the other brother is jealous and angry because now he's cutting into my share. And the father says, "Why can't you celebrate? The son that was once dead is now alive. Son, you've been with me the whole time." Here are the three worldviews. And I'm wanting to share this quickly because I think most of you know the story of the prodigal son. But here are the three worldviews. There's one worldview, the son who went out and partied it all. He actually went to his father and he says, "Give me my portion." There's an awful lot of moms and dads today and grandmas and grandpas today that are still handing out from their breakfast table and handing out from their wallet and carrying the weight for a lot of generations underneath them. Because there's a mentality, and it's called entitlement. There's an entitlement. And I look at that one son, it's an entitlement perspective. Give me my portion. And the father says, here you go. Here is what you think is yours. It graciously gives it to him. I find in none of the accounts of the story do I find any condemnation from the father to the son. He says, if that's what you want, here you go. And his son goes off and he's going to conquer the world and he's going to do it his way. And then there's the perspective of the other son. You see, the other son didn't know something that the son who went away knew. The first son who went away at least knew who his father was. And he knew he could come back to him because he knew the nature of his father. The son who stayed there never knew. What did he say in the story? I didn't read it, but what he says in the story is, I have slaved for you for years. I have been a slave to you. I have served you and slaved. And he uses the term, in the NIV, it actually uses the term slaved for you. Does this sound like a father-son relationship? The worldview was a business relationship. This is something I'm earning. And at some point, he becomes angry because he says, that is mine, my point of view, my worldview. There's three points of view here. There's one who says that it's about me, and it's an entitlement personality, an entitlement worldview. The second one says, not only is it about me, it's not about him. There's a jealousy when the other son sees the one son being blessed at an undeserved level. That's a worldview. Angry. And can I tell you, they're both called victim mentalities. There's a worldview today that's going on in our culture, and it is at a point where I believe it is epidemic. I've got to tell you, I never have seen in my life, and I'm only 55, I've never seen a generation or a time in my life where the idea of you owe me is permeating our culture. There was a lady on the cruise. I was standing in the hot dog line. First day. I'm standing in the hot dog line. By the way, it's a hot dog. We're not talking about a T-bone steak here with baked potatoes and a roast. You know, we're talking about a hot dog. And so I'm out on this long, big, massive pool deck. And there was three of us in line to order a hot dog. So I had ordered, Gina was up in our sun deck. We had this one place where we roosted out on the sun deck. I saw Jesus three times on the sun deck. The portal to heaven is on the Princess Regal. I can tell you right now because I saw him there. We went, so I'm standing in line. Gina's holding our chairs because those are priceless things. She's holding those chairs and I'm standing in a hot dog line. Now it's all included in the price, so I'm not going to have to pay for the hot dog, but it looked pretty good. And so I'm standing there three deep and all of a sudden a woman in a wheelchair rolls up and she is behind me. And then the cook says, now he's not a rocket science guy. He's just a guy that knows how to control lines pretty well. A fun guy. He was actually a fun guy. By the end of the week, we got to know each other pretty well. He says, could you guys move the line that way and wrap around and go down the hall because we're blocking the pool area now and access. And I said, absolutely. So I stepped two steps to the right and all of a sudden about 20 people got behind me. And the lady in the wheelchair is sitting out there where she was. And all of a sudden, I hear, and she's looking at me. So why didn't you tell me the line moved? Why didn't you tell me? That's not right. No one is going to get around. You cannot do that. You needed to tell me the line was moved. What am I supposed to do? I said, by the way, when I get moments like that, I love those opportunities. I do. I kind of get worked up for those opportunities. I said, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. If you'd like to, no, no, no. That's not, not that, you're not going to, you see, I began to ruin her narrative that she was a victim. And she was being ignored, and she was causing a ruckus as she's going back through the line. God bless her. I did offer her to be actually third in line. But you see, that ruined her victim mentality. Her worldview, as time went on, you see, that night that we were sitting in the Princess Theater, a room that seated over 900 at the back end of this boat. It was a huge auditorium. You ever been in those cruise ship theaters? They're huge. And it's multi-tiered. And I looked down. The show should have started by now. And I looked down. And there is this gray-haired woman wheeling herself to the front of the room. Place is packed, by the way. I mean, people are standing at the back trying to spot one seat. Ushers are trying to find one and two seats together. And I'm watching, and Gene and I said, there she is. That's the woman that yelled at me in the hot dog line. I could see her. She's in this big bright blue dress, you know, and she's silver hair shining in the lights. And I said, and she's reaming the ushers down there. She wanted to be seated at the front row. But you see, the front row already had all the wheelchair spots full. And to sit out in the aisle is a fire hazard. It's against fire code. And they were trying to convince her. And do you know, she held the whole auditorium up because she wasn't moving. By the second night, and I'm not exaggerating, Gina was there. She can verify it. By the second night, people were saying at dinner tables across, have you met the woman in the wheelchair? Have you experienced the gray-haired lady in the wheelchair? That's the most bitter woman I've ever seen. And if you ever try and do anything nice for her, it ruins her worldview. The second son that the father gave everything to, his narrative was ruined. His narrative was ruined. You see, there's the third worldview in that story. It's the father's worldview. And the father's worldview is, you're both my sons. You're my sons. And no matter what you do, no matter who you become, no matter what your stinking attitude, no matter, and I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. I'll go back over this way. No matter what your stinking attitude, I better point all five fingers. No matter what your stinking attitude is, no matter what your narrative is, you're still my sons. He didn't rebuke either one of them. He just spoke compassion to both of them. And their narrative, the narrative of the first son was ruined when he failed at living life his way. It's my life to live. And his narrative was destroyed. And he comes back and he asks for forgiveness. The other son, his narrative was destroyed and he got angry. But the third worldview in the story is a father. It's a father who says, no matter what, you are my sons. And there is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that you can do to destroy that. You see, the Bible says that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And no matter what I say I am or who say, Mike, get ready. I want the band to come up. Do you have your whole band here? If you got your whole band up, we're going to worship. We're going to worship. God is calling us to be a worldview as the Father. This Father's worldview is compassion. It's mercy. It's everything that's wrapped in that prodigal son story. We so often focus on one of the sons or the other son. We so few times, oh, stay with me, let the band do their thing here. We so few times really focus on the father, that worldview that was there. That lady on the boat wouldn't receive the mercy. The lady on the boat wouldn't receive compassion because it was angry. It angered her. It frustrated her. She was trying to prove the point that she was the victim. And I can tell you there are people in our culture today. Not long ago, Pastor Pam wrote in her blog, if you're not connected to her blog, you need to get connected. It's an excellent blog. She made the statement, I said, it's an excellent blog. She made the statement, she said, if you're looking to be offended, you'll never be disappointed. If you are looking to be hurt and disappointed, you won't be disappointed. Because you will find someone, even if they don't know they've hurt you. There was 20 of us that were in that line by the time she realized the line had moved. I have no reason to believe that she knew that the line was moving and purposefully stayed there. But there was 20 people in that line who didn't know they even offended her. They weren't shouting, "Hey, we're ignoring the gray-haired woman in the wheelchair." They weren't shouting that. They weren't even thinking about that. They were thinking about a stinking hot dog. And there's such a victim mentality that says, because of this particular thing of who I am or what I am, there's this slant against me. Can I tell you again, God's word says, I am joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. We don't know if we have a worldview from that perspective, the victim mentality. If we have that worldview, I don't know how. But like the other son, the son who stayed, we don't know who our father is. We don't know the nature of our Father. If we really have that mentality that somehow someone's intending to offend me or to hurt me. Y'all see where I'm coming from? There's a worldview that God wants us to have, and it's the Father's worldview in the story. This is this amazing Father who stands there and looks at both sons in their own failure in a different way. And their worldviews, and He just simply loves them. And no matter what their worldview is, it's not up to you to change another person's worldview. But it is up to you and to me to change our own worldview. Stand with me. There is something that God is calling us to. And that is to be above ourselves. Put up there, Gene, if you would, Micah. The book of Micah. Do you have that slide? Okay. There's something. See, God's made it simple for us. God has made this very simple for us. He hasn't asked a lot from us. In fact, all He asks is all we got. How much you got? We got nothing to bring to the table. Seriously. You want to bring God your very best? This is what He says. Micah 6:8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what He requires of you. Do the right thing, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You see that? Do the right thing, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. I don't find a victim mentality in that scripture at all. In fact, if we really adopt that approach of our lives, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. If we adopt that approach right there, the Lord has told you what is good. We know what to do. We know who to be. We know how to be it. He has given us His Spirit, the Spirit of sonship. He has given and He has provided for you and for me. And this is all He's asking. Just do what's right. Do what's right. To love mercy. Always, wherever we go, to find compassion. And can I tell you, when we're doing what's right, our heart is right, because if we're doing what we believe is right and we have a wrong heart, that's not what He's talking about. He's saying, oh people, the Lord has told you what is good. This is what He requires of you. And this is what He requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The last statement in that is a motive check. It's all about the motive. Do we really believe that the world exists to serve us? Do we really believe? Listen, the church has bought into the world's philosophy that the government is here. The government is here to supply all of my needs. Can I tell you? You better not share it. You better not have that worldview. Because before long, I don't care who you voted for. I'm going to tell you, we're not getting out of here without it getting worse. I said, we're not getting out of here without it getting worse. I don't care who you voted for. I don't care if your candidate won or didn't win. I've said it before the election. I'll say it again. Man cannot fix man. Man cannot fix man. And if we depend on God to speak things into us, that's where the transformation will take place. Can you imagine what could have happened had this lady been, get this, the second night people know who she is. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it have been a story for, have you met the amazing woman in the wheelchair? Do you get that perspective? That worldview? Can you imagine the stories that could have been told? Did you meet the amazing woman in the wheelchair? So I would simply say this. People know you. Your friends know you right now by your worldview. If you're more Republican than you are Christian. If you're more Democrat than you are Christian. If you're more about a cause than you are about Jesus Christ. Your friends know your worldview today. This lady was known quickly by her worldview. I would simply say, Father, forgive us for our worldview. If it's anything other than I am bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a child of God and I am made royalty. One day I will sit upon a throne and I will sit with my father and my arms around my daddy and I will be hugging on him. It's not mine, it's his throne. But he is my father, and if I know he's my father, my worldview completely changes. And it starts to expand with not what can others do for me, but what can I do for others? John F. Kennedy got his close to the Word of God years ago in the 1960s as any president. It's not a matter of asking, what does society owe me? You won't disrespect me. You won't, you see, I don't take political viewpoints here. I really don't. I'm just being real with you. I don't. But the voices that continue to scream all across the world in protest against man, God bless them. Because there's legitimacy in a lot of what they're saying. And a lot of what they're saying. But you see, if they ever met Jesus, and they begin to find, oh wait a minute now, that's my Father. He is my Father. He's my Father. Oh my goodness, He has a plan for me to bless others, to succeed in blessing others, and to pouring into others, and to loving others, and to love mercy, and to love mercy, and to love mercy, and to love mercy, and to love mercy. Can you imagine what would take place if every born-again Christian in the city of St. Louis went to protest and began to serve the protesters? Begin to serve them water, begin to serve them coffee, begin to serve, just serve them. In Jesus' name, instead of judging and being harsh with them. You see, and again, I'm not getting into the political aspect. I'm talking about a worldview that somehow the world owes me. Can I tell you? The world doesn't owe us. But God gave us everything, just the same as He did the two sons. Bow your heads with me. Father, we're going to just spend time in your presence in the next few minutes. We're going to sing holy, holy, holy. We're going to sing God, and we're going to be declaring who our Father is. And as we do that, God, we are lining ourselves up with a worldview that says, my view is a heavenly view. My worldview is now a heavenly view. God, let it be that I take the perspective. That I take the perspective. That I take the perspective that it's about eternal values, not temporal values.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.